You ready for word this morning?
Yes.
Turn in your Bibles with me to Habakkuk chapter 2. We've been going here Sunday mornings. It's good to see it because what we're talking about is so, to the natural mind, unbelievable. What we're talking about, even to the average Christian, seems so far-fetched. This is what we keep seeing in the Scripture. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I believe this is the inspired Word of God. Let me throw this out. I believe that the canon of Scripture, we have all 66 books, are all those that are inspired, and there's none others. I keep hearing, especially lately, about the lost books of the Bible. God's not like me and you. I was going through my garage the other day. I needed some screws, certain size screws. And I've got drawers full of screws, all sizes, nails, fasteners. And I pull open a drawer, and there's a box. I open the box, and inside the box, there's supposed to be screws, was a tape measure I've been missing for years. Doesn't matter, I got 20 more. This was a nice tape measure, Stanley. And I go, I didn't know that was in there. I had lost my tape measure. It was missing. I found the lost tape measure of my garage. God's not like me. He's not losing books. Did you follow me?
Yes.
He knows, he knew years ago, working, he flogged me in what books he wanted in the Bible. I believe when they chose the canon of Scripture in our King James Bible, any authorized church with those same books, God knew what needed to be in there.
Yes.
And don't be looking for the lost books like you're going to get additional revelation. See, the natural mind thinks you need more printed work to know what God has in mind. And God says, no, I gave you enough printed work. You need the Holy Spirit to unveil it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You follow me?
Yes.
And everything we need to know is in these 66 books. You don't need to go outside of it to find the lost books. Mm-hmm. I hope I didn't step on any toes on in that one. Amen?
Amen.
The natural mind wants more data, and God says, no, you need more spirit.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, Lord God. I can feel the enthusiasm out of that. And so what we're talking about is so ridiculous to the natural, even Christian mind. It's important we keep looking at it. Because if you're like me and you believe this is God's Word, and we do, then we believe if it says it, it's real.
Yes.
Even if it sounds ridiculous. See, here's something. Jesus said this. He said this. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, but believe in his heart that which he says shall come to pass, come out whatever he says, whatsoever he saith. A mountain. Jesus, if you can believe, you can command a mountain to be thrown in the sea. Do you understand everything of the natural is more, how can I say, emptiness than it is real substance? Quantum physics has shown us everything's almost pure vacuum. Jesus said, you've been given the authority to manipulate out of the quantum realm substances of the natural. Did I lose you on that? We have that ability, that authority. But you got to be able to believe it. I don't know about you. I don't think my faith is the level to tell a mountain to be thrown in the sea yet. Amen. But I believe if Jesus did, it would move. Well, he's Jesus. No, he believes.
Yes.
He also said, see, it's far-fetched. The average Christian doesn't receive that. It's in the Bible, but they don't receive it. Well, that can't be real. I don't see anybody doing that. No, he's telling us what's possible. Not maybe what we would be doing, but if it's possible to command a mountain to be removed, anything under that level should also be in our realm of authority. We should be able to command a tumor to be removed.
Yes.
which has happened time and time again, right? We should be able to command finances to come.
Yes.
Demons to leave.
Yes.
We have that authority. That's all underneath the level. I'll tell you what. To me, it'd be easier to cast out the devil than to tell a mountain to be removed.
Right.
Yeah.
So if we can believe for one, the others are still are definitely possible as well. And the Word said it. Jesus said this. The works I do, you can also do. And greater works. He said it. It's in your Bible. But the average Christian, that sounds ridiculous. In fact, you tell people that you believe you can heal, you know, be involved in healing the sick. We know God's a real healer, but He uses us. We are the carrier of the power, right? The holder of the authority. Designated authority. You tell the average Christian that you believe you have the ability to cast up devils, open blind eyes, cause the lame to walk, raise the dead, that they'll say, well, who do you think you are? And what's our response? How much time do you have? We're going to see that in just a little bit. That's where I intend to get to. How much time do you have? I'm who Jesus and the Word says I am.
Absolutely.
And I have what the Word says I have.
Yeah.
In fact, sometimes we confess over this Word, and many ministries do it. They'll hold up the Bible at the beginning of service. In fact, let's do it. Hold up your Bible or your device. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what it says.
I believe what it says.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can have what it says I can have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I am who it says I am.
And I am who it says I am.
Done deal. And it says we can command mountains.
Yes. That's what it
says. We can open blind eyes, raise the dead, cast up devils, do greater works. But again, to the natural Christian mind even, they think that just Jesus was he was fantasizing. He was just Jesus talking about, well, maybe someday in heaven you can do this. No, he's talking about now.
Yes.
If we just believe and not doubt, right?
Right.
So when I'm talking about what God's going to do in the end times, which is what we're looking at, what's He going to do in these last days? I believe we're in the last days. If He's telling us what we can do in the last days and it's way beyond just trying to be a sweet person, it's important we believe it and act on it.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I'm not doing all the work here. I'm doing just to raise up a nice little church. I'm here to raise a center for the manifestation of the glory of God.
Amen.
How about you?
Yes.
I'm sowing into an end time kingdom facility that God's going to move mightily through.
Yes.
With signs and wonders.
Amen.
Miracle manifestations. It's going to happen right here.
Yes.
I'm sowing into that. Amen. Not to mention I'm sowing into God filling this place multiple services.
Yes.
Amen. Not to mention probably home cell groups and everything else. All the community ambassadors God showed me in 2018. Being fully staffed.
Wow.
Changing this community. Bringing the glory of God here. But we have to see it in the Word.
Yeah.
And the more we can see it, the more we're more likely to embrace it.
Yeah.
Haven't you heard about salvation more than once before you gave your life to Jesus?
Yeah.
But the more you heard it, the more it started to take deeper root.
Yeah.
Then you were able to act upon it. I heard about healing a whole lot before I stepped into it. Amen? It's important we hear about the glory coming to really embrace what it involves, what it demands of us. Because if you don't see what's coming, you won't take appropriate steps to qualify to be a carrier of it. Is this okay with you this morning? And I'm back at chapter 2, verse 14, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea, is God's end time vision.
Yes.
In fact, verse 3, it says, the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. Right? And not lie. And though it tarry or be running late, seemingly it will not be late. God said there's a vision for the end times. Whoever reads it, verse 2, should run with it. Running requires all of our effort. Again, I know we're just refreshing, reviewing. Running is an all-in activity.
Yeah.
Amen. And the vision is God bringing His glory into the earth.
Yes.
And through Paul's writings, his revelation. You know, Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He wrote two-thirds of the books of the New Testament. Do you follow me? And I don't believe when he was writing and getting his revelation, he was going like, I need to find another book.
No.
He had the entire Old Testament, all 36 books. At the time, there wasn't 36 because some of them had been split. He had the entire Old Testament available. He was going, I don't have enough information here. I need to find the lost books of the Old Testament. I guess Enoch would have been one of those, right? And the whole group, there are so many supposed lost books that others have.
Yeah.
Paul relied on the Torah, the Old Testament. And what he did is he prayed. He fasted. He sought God. He prayed in tongues more than anybody else. And God gave him revelation that was already in the Old. Amen? We have the ability to get revelation out of the Old and the New.
Yes.
We can take what Paul wrote and get further depth out of it.
Yes.
Amen. And so, where God says the earth is going to be filled with glory, Paul wrote about how it's going to come through people. It's going to come through a segment of his church called the bride. It's going to be a glorious bride, right?
Yes.
Revelation 19 says, and the wife of the Lamb has made herself ready. It's a part of the church that's all in cooperating with the Spirit of God in developing your faith to carry God's glory. Amen. Tangible, supernatural love. And I know all across the nation right now, across the world, people are preaching nice messages about, you know, Mary had a little lamb and his name was Jesus. Here's how you can act more Christ-like and walk more godly. We do those kind of lessons. But God's assignment for the church is to manifest the glory. Am I boring you?
No.
That's the assignment. But you got to see it, to embrace it, to be willing to run at the level to qualify. And I'll be a river bending, and here he is. Don't beat yourself up. I mean, just coming and setting up this teaching is demanding enough, right? And not everybody even passes that test. That's too hard. It's not hard. What I teach is not hard. None. Do you follow me? It just requires reprioritization of your days. I've done hard work. I worked in the hay fields. I worked in the factories. Manual and mental labor. And I discovered a lot of that was harder than reading. A lot of it was harder than just speaking. Amen?
Amen.
What we teach is not hard. It's just different than what you're used to. What people are used to. And it requires a shift in our life. Changing what we think is important for what God says is. Amen.
Yes.
So some of the things God's delivered me from. The fishing. I used to live for fishing. I could care less if I ever went fishing again. Haven't for decades. I live for sports. I could care less if I ever saw any more of them again. I'll watch more. But I used to live and die with my sports teams. Not anymore. Why? I've got a different priority. Amen. And we could put in other activities and hobbies and things we thought were so important that really, when it comes compared to carrying the glory of God, really don't matter. So it's not hard. It just tears away. The soul is used to doing something else or likes to do something else.
Yeah.
You know what I like to do now? I love to hang drywall.
Yeah.
Now, I rolled my eyes. I don't know if you can see it or not. I hung drywall yesterday. I hung drywall the day before. And I would have rather been doing that than any other activity on earth yesterday.
Yes.
Do you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Although I think driving the skid steer would have been funny, but Kevin didn't volunteer for me to do that.
Would have been more fun.
Would have been more fun, yeah. Some people who have all the fun. But yesterday, it was my priority. It was the most, it was the number one thing I wanted to do. Amen.
Amen.
Within, I would say probably by the end of this next week. This week I intend to put the drywall, we intend to put drywall and Karen's ceiling in there, seal it up, seal up my office, and hopefully by the end of next week, the pigeon manure will be out of the attic. Now, if you take the scaffolding down, to put the drywall up, then we have to put the scaffolding back to get stuff out of there. But when I go to take the pigeon manure out, whoever wants to do it, I'm looking for volunteers. I do have a thank you, Linda. I do have a special mask for that. She raised her hand. We're going to shovel it into trash bags, trash bags. I can't get a vacuum through the hole. Maybe a small one. When I go to do that, or whoever, it'd be the number one thing I want to do. Why? Because it's top priority for my serving God for that day.
Yeah.
What I'm getting at is you can do some really crummy work and love it if you know it's the will of God for that day.
Yes.
Versus, I could have went fishing this weekend, or even camping. Hiking. Hiking doesn't appeal to me at all anymore. I raised on a farm. We don't hike on purpose.
On purpose.
You hike when you're hunting the cows or the pigs or whatever, you know. I could have went fishing. I could have done any other thing. But yesterday, the funnest thing I could have done. I would have not enjoyed being fishing yesterday. Why? Because the drywall was saying, put us up. That's what I felt was our priority. I don't know if you're getting anything out of this or not. But if you get to running with God, that run will be the funnest thing you can do for that day. I don't like to run in the natural. Again, as I learned from the Marlboro Man years ago, has everybody heard that story by now?
Yeah.
Has anybody not heard the Marlboro Man story?
I don't think I have.
Okay,
maybe
right.
Have.
Nothing either way, right?
Do you remember the Marlboro Man commercials back from the 60s and
yeah.
up to about 1970?
Yeah.
Well, the Marlboro Man from 64 up was Wayne DeFone. He was a real rodeo champion. He's a rodeo in the Rodeo Hall of Fame. He lived close to my mom, and he loved to dance. My mother was a very good dancer. He would come. They didn't have anything romantic. They'd just go dancing. And he came over to her house one time. This would have probably been in the late 80s. To take her dancing, or just to stop and say hi. And I'm talking with him, and he's talking. I think the question was, you know, do you dance? I said, no, I play basketball. He said to me, isn't it like chasing the hogs when they're not out? You know, running without a purpose. And so that's my philosophy of life. If the hogs aren't out, I'm not running. Unless something's chasing, right? I still run if there's something to be in a hurry for. So I'm not real big on running in the natural. But I like running in the spirit with God. And all you got to do is find out for that day, for that moment, what is the top priority for God to have you do. If you do that, you'll love running at that moment.
Yes.
I've shared the story many times about the day five of us went and dug up a septic system that was beyond foul. Maybe the foulest job ever did. We had the time of our lives because the Holy Spirit was there. We had a blast. I mean, it was a priority for the day. Running is not that you have to work so hard. It's that you've got to change your priorities to be in line with what God wants you to do. Amen. We're to run toward the glory. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. That should be part of how you think. God's bringing the glory, and He's going to use you. Paul says, I'm revealing you a mystery hidden from ages and generations. What's he talking about? He's talking about something that was in the Word in the Old Testament. It's already in there. And the Spirit of God gave Paul a revelation of it, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yeah.
Paul recognized the glory. He knew the back inside and out. He knew God was bringing the glory to earth. Amen. And God gave him a revelation that glory is coming through Christians. Those that God rebirths into His kingdom. In fact, verse 4 says this, He whose soul is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just, the righteous, shall live by their faith. The revelation that Paul got, that he really even carried it to the other apostles, that it is the crux of the entire New Testament, is that when you give your life to the Lord Jesus, you are born again, you become a new creation, and you are transitioned from being a sinner to a saint, and you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That was the crux of his teaching, the focal point, the center. And that all ties back to the just, the righteous, you'll live by faith. You're made righteous by faith.
Amen.
Not by your own following the law. In fact, that's where we're going to go in a few minutes, assuming I ever get out of the introduction. Paul said, God's bringing the glory through people that are made righteous by faith.
Yes.
That's what he was teaching.
Yes.
We've got to get to the place we believe so much in the kingdom of heaven, so much in God's supernatural ability to move, we believe he's going to move in these end times in a way way beyond what he's ever done in the church.
Yes.
How many believe God moved through the first century church?
Yes.
3,000 people saved in a day, 8,000 in a week. That's pretty impressive. The dead being raised, miracles being done, the lame man walking right off the bat. Miracles. In fact, the religious leader says, these men that were with Jesus, to paraphrase, have turned the world upside down. They shook up the world. In fact, you're in church today because of what they shook up 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
And what he did starting the church, he's going to finish the church with.
Yes.
Which is what? Turning things upside down. But in our case, it'll be turning things right side up. Right. So I forgot to pray over that stuff yet. I'll get it in a minute. We're going to pray over a prayer cloth for Robert in a little bit. We're to turn the world right side up. In fact, what he's going to use the church in end times for is to manifest the glory, bankrupt the devil, and bring in his harvest.
Yes. Yes.
Putting things right in God's proper order. Then God says, okay, you're done.
Yeah.
Rapture time. I was about to do MC Hammer dance.
Eyes, eyes, baby.
I can't see that now.
I was going to airwalk across the stage too, but I'll hold that for later. Airwalk. I like the airwalk. Anyway, that's right before I do a double flip backwards.
That's Patty. Not anymore.
God's coming back for a church that has finished their work. They've manifested the glory, brought in the harvest. They put the devil under their feet. In fact, it says in Scripture, I'm just telling you what Scripture says. Jesus will be maintained in heaven until God puts the devil under the feet of the church.
Yes.
He's not coming back for a church that's barely hanging on. He's coming back for a triumphant bride.
Amen.
But you got to get a revelation. We're going beyond the natural.
Yes.
And he's going to use you in it.
Amen.
Now don't get disturbed if you feel like you can't ever step into that level of spirituality. Because you really don't know what you can do till the revelation becomes genuine to you. And if you keep setting this, it's going to become genuine. All this review is reinforcing what God's called you to be and to become. And I know other churches, other Christians are going to think you're crazy. But I've been in that category for a long time. Amen. I would rather the world think I was crazy than God say, why didn't you believe?
Amen. Yes, amen.
So I pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
It says, if we be anyway otherwise minded, God will reveal it to us.
Yeah.
He's revealing to get to the how to get to the glory.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, last week, in fact, for a few weeks, we were on Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Right? For then there's the power unto salvation all that believe. To the Jew first, also to the Greek. Right? And we discovered that in Romans, Paul was writing to the Roman church saying, we're going from faith to faith through the gospel. In fact, let's turn there again so I can just see it again. Romans chapter 1. I'm going to start to quote it. Verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. In other words, this gospel and the power of this gospel brings to salvation all that believe, regardless of nationality, gender, race, cultural background, or status of society. The only requirement is believing.
Yep.
This same word in all of our Bibles carries for each of us the same power to overcome darkness if we just believe it, regardless of your background. We can't say, well, it only works for men. No, it's not true. It's not what Paul said. Only works for the Jew. No, that's not what Paul said. It works for whoever will believe. And each of us has been given a seed measure of faith, of believing, that you get the opportunity to grow, to increase.
Yes.
Amen. To the level we carry the glory. Verse 7, for therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In other words, this righteousness is revealed in levels going from faith to faith. I mentioned this a while ago, but we go into it further. When somebody says, who do you think you are? We can say, how much time do you have? Because we're getting more and more revelation of who God made us. We're going from faith to faith and revelation, I'm sorry, layers or levels of revelation of our righteousness. What do you mean? When I was first saved, they told me I was a sinner. Saved by grace. Just hanging on to God's unfailing hand. Hurt for years. Just hanging on. Holding on. Don't let go. In fact, I served God for 10 years thinking I was a sinner. With no revelation of righteousness. Virtually zero. Oh, I'd heard I had authority. I'd heard I could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. I'd heard I could cast out devils. Well, they didn't know my righteousness, and not knowing my righteousness kept me under a sin mentality, a condemnation mentality that neutralized my faith to see any of that happen, for the most part. But after 10 years of serving God, I heard the message. You're not a sinner anymore. I don't know why it took me so long. It's in the Word. It was in the New Testament. I had the books. I like the revelation. But I heard taught, you're not a sinner anymore. You're a saint. You're the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. And I went from love of righteous revelation to another level of faith in it. You follow me? Once I found out I was righteous, my faith level and my righteousness jumped up. And now over 30 years since then, my level of understanding of my righteousness keeps going higher and higher. Because we're going to faith in our revelation of the Word, of our authority, of what righteousness qualifies us for. Not just the knowledge that it exists, but our faith in it. That now I can do more through faith than I could do 20 years ago. You follow me? Why, faith keeps increasing as you exercise it. As you stay in the Word and you get more revelation, you work that revelation, you advance in faith. For there is righteous revealed from faith to faith. And then he says this, for it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
See, here Paul's talking about a people that's going to manifest the glory. Paul knew that statement, that phrase, the just shall live by faith, tied to the glory. To Habakkuk 2:14. He's saying we do it from finding out who we are and meditating and going from faith to faith until we carry that glory. And he says it's all in the gospel. It's all in here already.
Yes, it is.
Just keep pursuing, following the Spirit. He'll reveal it to you. We don't need another book. We just need to connect with the Spirit of God who knows what's in this book. I've taught this many times. In fact, I taught it recently here, I think. The ability to fly an airplane, to have an airplane, has always existed.
Yeah.
It's existed since the days of Adam. I mean, if people had known in the days of Noah, they could build an airplane. But the nuclear engine could have flown through the storm the whole time. You follow me?
40 days.
I mean, they had a good fly above the clouds. Now, of course, many believe there was a firmament. The firmament shattered and produced rain, and it came from space down. And I tend to align with that theory, and that's a whole other teaching. But they could have built a nuclear power airplane.
Yeah.
I don't think we have any nuclear power airplanes today. But it's possible. We have nuclear power. Submarines can stay underwater indefinitely. Until they run out of food, right? Recycle everything. The ability, the laws of physics were there to do it. The laws of metallurgy, power, all there. Men lack the revelation to apply it. Amen. How many have heard of the U.S.'s Constitution, Old Ironsides? War of 1812, the cannonballs bounced off of it. It was a wooden ship. Did you know until about Civil War time, all ships were made of wood and had sails? If they were going to go anywhere? Even earlier, they had rows in oars they would row with sails. But if you're in a battle, don't you think a steel ship would have been better than a wood one? Definitely. You know why they didn't have steel ships earlier? They have any motors to push them. Steel ships are heavy. You got a motor, an engine. The technology was always there for an engine. I'm not talking about the capacity. Man like the revelation. Y'all wonder where I'm going? I'm trying to figure it out myself.
You're going here.
Abraham could have built a jet airplane. Laws were available, but he didn't know how. Of course, stuff hadn't been invented yet to even make a jet airplane possible, but the laws were there. We like the revelation. And I'm telling you, everything has always been in this Word to enable us to walk in the glory. We like revelation. And I believe the Spirit of God has been giving man revelation over the past 120 years. By the advanced technology to get ready for the end times. And at the same time, he's preparing the church for the last 120 years. With increased revelation, how to carry the glory. And we're going from faith to faith in it. It amazes me. I've been on earth now for 70 years. The technology advances I've seen in my lifetime. But if I go back just 50 years before I was born, 51 years actually, the Wright brothers created the first motorized airplane. 50 years before I was born. I've lived longer than it was between the time they invented it and I was born. 120 years we've gone from a wooden fabric covered plane that flew, you know, 100 something feet. Then we've gone to the moon. And all the technology we have in just less than 100 years. See, it's well known that in these end times we're in, technology is exploded. Technology is exploding in manifestation. And Daniel, the book of Daniel, who wrote extensively on the end times. You can't understand the book of Revelation without understanding somewhat the book of Daniel. And Daniel said this, at the end times, knowledge shall increase. He said it'd be a sign again. And it has exploded in the past 120 years.
Yes.
He also said that Antichrist will be a homosexual. He alluded to his governmental desire for women. Are we seeing an explosion in that? So just like knowledge in the earth has increased in technology, it parallels knowledge of the scriptures increasing throughout the book of Revelation. God is releasing stuff now the church has never seen. You're learning stuff this morning Peter never knew. Oh, Jesus may have taught part of it, but we have the writings of Paul. The Spirit of God is pouring out so much more understanding. Amen. Of course, Peter couldn't run yourself on either. You might have done better than I had, I don't know. I want to turn somewhere else. We're not going to cover it in depth. But turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Because this is where I wanted to get today. But I feel so much need to reinforce our foundation of the glory coming to earth. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Let me get to my scriptures here. Galatians chapter 3. I want to start reading at verse number 5. He therefore that ministered to you the Spirit and worketh miracles. Now, this is interesting right here. Again, this teaching gift kicks in. You have trouble not getting on bunny trails. The Galatian church, when Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians, it was a rebuke letter. I mean, it was a letter of correction. They got caught up listening to Jews teaching how he had to keep the law as well as get born again. Galatians written by Paul to tell them, no, if you try to fulfill the law, you're back under the law. And you've frustrated grace. Salvation by faith alone, not by circumcision or any other aspect of the law. Do you follow me? Mm-hmm. Yet in this book of extreme correction, in fact, of all the epistles that were written, Galatians is the number one book of correction. Even more than Corinthians. And he says, you there, we get the right wording in verse 5. He therefore that minister you the Spirit and worketh miracles. Even the Galatian church was seeing miracles. Makes you wonder what letters he'd write to the church today. There should be miracles in the church. And even though they were frustrating the grace of God, they were still seeing the miraculous. Doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Of course, it wasn't by following the law they saw the miracles. It was because they believed the word. Amen. They believed who they were, who God says they were. Even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. You know, this is going to take me too long to read all the way down through here. I'll pick it up next week, but I'm going to go down to verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Now we're going back to this verse that ties us to the glory. He's talking about how we're not going to tap into it by trying to be good people and doing good deeds. Not trying to follow the law. Be a good enough person. It's going to be by believing we are who God says we are. By faith and stepping into all the faith-to-faith opportunities righteousness affords us. God's looking in these end times for people that just believe. Just believe what it says.
Yes.
And then decide. This is so important. In fact, come to the revelation, the conclusion. God made me for this. I shared it before. These trade skills I have, I'm not a master of any of them. You follow me? But I can do a lot of them. And Lord's let me know. I have you trained for right now. I mean, just the construction skills, not to mention the revelation of the Word. You're in training to carry the glory of God.
Yes.
And if we get the revelation that we're part of in God's end time move, and God made you who you are and trained you right now for what you're called to do, just position yourself, you'll realign your life with new priorities. We're all called to run with the glory.
Amen.
Now don't get beat up if you don't think you've done good enough. That's law. Just choose today. I believe God at a higher level than ever before. I embrace today like never before. And you start lacing up your sneakers. You still call them sneakers?
Mm-hmm.
Tennis shoes. It's amazing how tennis gets all the praise out of those shoes. Amen. Nobody ever calls them drywall shoes. See how this happens? Just shoot right off there. We're called to be people that Paul wrote about repeatedly, the just to live by faith, to manifest the end time glory of God, to fulfill God's end time assignment. That's why you were made.
Yes.
And any other imagination you have about who you want to be, and it doesn't align with that, you're wrong. You think you just want to, you know, hang on the good old failing hand until, you know, whatever happens, and that's your plan, you miss God. We're called to carry this in time, Lord. But you got to be far-fetched in your imagination to embrace it. Oh, I'm rambling now. Father, we thank you for your word seated in our understanding and cause to be people that run toward the glory. We declare in this church there are none sick, none in pain. Robert is healed. There's no lack, no strife, no oppression whatsoever. We walk in the fullness of who you called us to be. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.